Oh, it's Casual Friday.
Casual Friday, what does that mean?
That means we just dress like we would at home.
But you're not at home.
No, but it is Casual Friday, so.
Yeah, I know, you told me that already. What do you do on Casual Friday?
Well, we just come in and do our work, but we dress casually.
I don't like it.
Well, it's just one day of the week.
I don't give a damn if it's half a day a week. I don't like it.
You're getting better.
Yeah, I am.
Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davidge, me, Karen Walker, and him. That's Dan Clark.
Hello.
Our show on the Lakeshore is supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for what matters most.
What matters most is Casual Fridays on this Good Friday, we hope, anyway.
It's a great Friday.
It's a great Friday on this Good Friday, and it's a Casual Friday. Wow, we're going to confuse all of our Lakeshore listeners today. If you miss any part of today's show, whatever it's called, it'll be re-aired at 7 o'clock tonight and posted online, lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can find all of our previous shows, at least most of our previous shows, including ones like today's, a little of this, a little of that. I call it a smorgasbord of opportunities.
Jerry's recent column on the No More Secrets campaign in Northwest Indiana, which reaches and rescues child victims of sexual abuse, also introduced readers to Isha Haley.
Yep, the 35-year-old sexual abuse survivor who lives in East Chicago these days shares her harrowing story with our Lakeshore listeners soon, and also she's shared it with several schools in the area, including schools in the North Township area, and they're going to, 70 students so far have come forward after hearing her story to say, there's something wrong going on in my life, and can you please look into it? That's an amazing number, I think.
On today's show, we welcome Isha Haley into our studio to share her story and, more importantly, her efforts to reach even more children at risk of being abused. They're out there, too many of them, victimized by too many secrets.
Yep, we are waiting for Isha to come into the studio, so hopefully she'll be in a couple minutes. We're also going to chat with a representative from the Museum of Science and Industry about a celebration of National Robotics Week taking place again this weekend, where guests can interact with cutting-edge bots, as they're called. I like that. Cutting-edge
cool.
bots.
Yeah.
During doing a variety of activities and competitions. And, I guess I'll read this also.
Okay.
What is that determines our political leanings to the left or right? I posted something about this on social media, and I got dozens, almost hundreds of replies. Like, why are you a liberal or conservative? Are you born that way? Is it nature? Is it nurture? Is it age-related, cultural, family-based? We'll explore that.
And with Easter Sunday just 2 days away, Jerry will read his column about Easter's meanings for several different believers and non-believers.
Yep, right around the corner. Good
I
Friday
know.
Turns right into Easter. Sunday. Also, when an anonymous source tells a newspaper columnist that two county cops got into a serious fistfight at a cemetery in the middle of the night while on duty.
What?
My knee-jerk response was like, you know, hey, stop joking with me. Or pull this one plays Jingle Bells. You know, I really didn't believe it. And then it got confirmed by two other people. Then it got confirmed by the Lake County Sheriff's Department.
Then it really happened.
It actually happened. I'll tell the listeners a little bit about it today.
Plus, Jerry did his best to watch Monday night's home opener of the Chicago Cubs. Couldn't do it. He'll explain why.
Yeah.
All that and more in today's show. If you want to join the discussion or offer a counter view to ours, feel free to call in at 769-9577. But first, we want to wish a happy birthday to my nephew, Sam Barloga. He is 19 today.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday, Sam.
And he's back from college?
I have no idea.
Oh.
So I don't know. Doesn't tell his aunt anything. So
he's 19.
Yeah.
That's why.
I'm lucky if my 17-year-old tells me anything. So, but no, happy birthday, Sam. You're an incredible young man. You know, there's a million things you haven't done.
He's good on radio, too.
He's absolutely good on radio. He was made for radio, for sure.
And I met a teenager who's just like Sam, political-minded. I met him yesterday, actually. His name is Nicholas Fortin. He lives in Chesterton, and he's 16. And he wanted to. He's met all these different local politicians, and he wants to meet every politician he possibly can. He wants to write about politics. He wants to be a public office holder. So I'm going to be writing about him next week, actually. But in the meantime, I put him in touch with a couple of people already who were just interested in helping him out. I mean, last night I connected him with Hammond Mayor Tom McDermott, who was on our show recently. And I said, Tom, can you please get back with Nicholas here? He's 16-year-old. He'd love to meet with you. And he said, sure. So Tom got back immediately. And I love when people who you don't think are going to get back, not only with us, but with kids in the region, and he got back with them almost immediately. So we're connecting the dots with that also, and you could read that column next week and all that.
I hope someone – it would be a great – I wish I could be a fly on the wall for that, for when he meets Mayor Tom. Oh, Mayor Tom is such a character.
We should get a video recorded. So look for that column next week, folks. You're listening to Casual Fridays. Isha, welcome to the studio.
Hi, Isha. How are you?
Thank you so much. The traffic was ridiculous, but I made it here. So
It's really bad on Mississippi right in front of the station. I had some trouble, too, today.
It's a good Friday.
Maybe I should have told you that, Isha, when I was directing you how to get here. But either way, I'm glad you made it into the studio. Welcome to Casual Fridays. Thanks for being a part of the show. When I met you a week or two ago now in Frank Mervan's office in Hammond, I was really impressed and floored with the kind of the good work that you do. And I didn't even know what was going on behind the scenes for this No More Secrets campaign. So tell our listeners, tell Lakeshore listeners a little bit about No More Secrets.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. So I am a consultant with Frank Mervan, the trustee at the North Township office. I moved here about a year ago. I'm originally from New York, and when I moved here, I originally met Frank working on another development project for a local school. And when I met him, he was really passionate. He said, you know, I heard this report, and there's a big issue in Lake County, and no one's talking about it, and we need to do something to raise awareness. Can you help me? And at that time, I actually looked at myself and said, does he see residue from my past? Mm-hmm. Because it was about child sexual abuse, and I'm a survivor and conqueror of child sexual abuse.
And he didn't know that, correct?
He did not know that.
Okay.
I don't know. I tell him all the time, I'm like, did the Lord speak to you about who I was? Mm-hmm. But he didn't know. He just knew from my background that I could develop campaigns. And he asked me to assist him. And the rest is history. And so we created a three-pronged approach. First, we wanted to make sure that whatever we created, it would be sustainable. So we helped draft Senate Bill 355 with the assistance of Myra Alvarez Rodriguez, made sure that his father, Senator Mesmer, and also Representative Althoff, that they were involved. And we helped champion that bill. And we wanted to make sure that when we went to Indianapolis to testify, that we had evidence behind the work that we were doing so that they wouldn't say, hey, what if this doesn't happen? What if this doesn't work? We had proof, solid proof, that if you went into schools and gave students information about how to protect themselves from inappropriate adult behavior, that they would come forward. And 73 kids in less than 10 days came forward.
That's an amazing number.
Yeah, my gosh.
I'm really surprised they came forward. Give our listeners a snapshot of what prompted them to come forward. You told your story, your personal story, a little bit anyway, right? You gave them an idea of what you kind of went through. But what would prompt a child to be sitting? Because, you know, we've been to these, and I've given presentations to schools, and they're always sitting there, and they're kind of they're bored, they're falling asleep. They're half there, they half don't care, right? Half not listening.
Yes.
What did you say to compel 70 or more to step up and say, something's going wrong in my life, can I please have some help?
With humility, I will have to say that it was a collective impact. It was myself. There were also representatives from the Department of Justice, Fairhaven Center for Women, Mental Health America. And so it was partners, right? And,
how many gave their personal story?
I gave my personal story.
That's what I thought. Otherwise, they're kind of like talking officials and
they're
supposed to be there. I'm not demeaning their purpose.
Yes.
But
yes.
It's not going to compel a kid to stand up.
No, and that was the genius behind it, right? Is that we all came together and we knew. And at first it was not me.
Yeah, that but that genius you told me was not genius. It was serendipity.
It was
because the plan wasn't to have Isha stand up and tell her story in front of all these kids.
Frank was late. Yeah. So, right? The genius behind it. And because it's Good Friday, the genius was God.
There you
right?
go.
The genius behind it, it was never the intent for me to share my story. We actually were looking to recruit 7 survivors. They would go to the schools, share their stories.
Their stories.
Right. Mm-hmm. What happened, every time the Times would go and approach one of the survivors, they would get scared. And most people,
of course.
I was scared to share my story.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so here I am, I'm the consultant, and the entire project is surrounded by these survivor stories that we don't have. And I literally felt like I heard God say, how can you expect other people to do something you're not willing to do? Mm-hmm. Share your story. And so that's how I began to share my story. But I thought it would be a one-time thing. I share my story. It get published in the newspaper. And then the day that the schools were having their presentations, Frank was late. And everyone's looking at me like, okay, Isha, so what do we do?
Yeah,
do we
somebody's got to step up.
Someone has to step up. And again, I heard that genius voice say, step forward and share your story. And so I shared my story. And honestly, I think that the vulnerability and the transparency in which I shared, and I didn't share too much information that, you know,
for
it freaked kids out.
Yeah,
It was appropriate.
What did you tell them appropriately?
I told them appropriately that you don't have to be ashamed.
Did you tell them that you were a survivor?
I told them that I'm a survivor.
Okay.
And that for years, I wanted my teachers to look at me as more than a girl with problems or a promiscuous girl. That I wanted them to see my pain and not necessarily my failures. And I really was honest with them. I was honest with the point that sometimes we want the people at home to care about us and they don't. And sometimes school is your safe haven. Your teacher is probably your mom or your aunt, or your principal sometimes steps in and it becomes that father that you've been missing at home. And so I was really transparent about how school was a safe haven for me, and that when they come forward, that one, we're going to believe them. That's the number one thing most people are afraid of. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have someone to believe them. And so I made sure that every student knew that all of our panelists that were there, they were there for them.
I see.
Not there to justify what happened or to demean what happened to them. But when you came forward, one, we were going to believe you, and two, there were people there that were going to help you. And so two of the stories that just stick out in my mind is the young girl who came to me and she said, thank you so much. She was 18 now. And she said, thank you so much for sharing your story. And I've been dealing with this for 2 years. I don't know how to take care of my brother and my son. And Jerry, I didn't understand what she meant. I said, well, sweetie, I don't understand. I mean, was your brother or your son, you know, hurt? And she said, no, my brother is my son. My father had raped me from the time I was 14 to 16. I was impregnated. My family made me have the baby, and I've been dealing with whether or not I should give him up for adoption.
I see.
So it was 10 really hard days, but I thank God that 73 kids, they saw something in that presentation, and they said, it's time for me to get free. And then the other little girl, to this day, she will always be somebody that fuels my passion. She ran up to me before she went to the DCS counselors, and she said, I just want to give you a hug, and she's crying. And she said, I just want to be happy and successful like you. And as adults, you know, sometimes we look in the mirror, and I'm like, am I happy? Am I successful?
Yeah, right.
And but she saw the fact that I was able to stand in my pain and be vulnerable in front of students as success. She didn't care about my credentials. Mm-hmm. She didn't care that I wasn't from Indiana.
You were just being honest.
That I was just being honest. And so she wanted to be happy.
That's powerful testimony right there, Isha. If you're just tuning in now, listen to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. As usual, on this beautiful Good Friday, we're talking with Isha Haley. She's a consultant and a survivor involved with the No More Secrets campaign out of Frank Mervan's office in Hammond. How many schools have you guys been to so far for this campaign?
Over 25. We've spoken to 11,466 students.
Oh, my God.
And we also had a symposium because we wanted to make sure that we weren't just equipping students, but when they went home, their parents or caretakers could also recognize signs. And so we also hosted a symposium that was sponsored by Purdue Northwest, and we had 271 adults come to our symposium. And this National Day of Prayer on May 4th, we are hosting a candlelight vigil, and we're asking everyone in the community to come out to Wicker Park at 7 p.m. to lift up those 73 students in prayer, because it's not just enough to do a campaign. It's not just enough to do legislation. There are 73 kids who are on a journey right now to healing, and we don't know what happens once they get in the hands of DCS or they have to go home, and so the only thing that we can do now as developers of No More Secrets is to make sure we lift these kids up in prayer and let them know that we didn't just stop when we came to your school. We cared about you weeks after.
Isha, do you remember the response of the first child at the who wrote? Did they raise their hand? Is that what they did?
No.
Or they come up afterward?
It was actually in the middle of the presentation.
So the presentation's going, and then a hand pops up, or what?
No, she walks out trembling.
Get out.
Crying. Mm. She's red in the face.
She was touched that much.
Yes. And it was actually three kids that had to walk out.
You remember what school this was?
It was in Whiting.
It was in Whiting, okay.
It was in Whiting. Okay. And so she's shaking. And now, mind you, besides the 73, these are 73 that were actually disclosed. There were other students that either were 18 and they didn't have to report.
Right.
And so they just wanted counseling.
I see.
And there were other students that when we would go to them, there was one girl, the same school, so we had three. The first girl is the one that actually disclosed. And then we had two other ones, and the other girl, she said she had to step out the room because she just had anxiety.
Sure.
But I knew it was something more. Mm-hmm. You could just see in her face that she
I'll
was
bet.
Still afraid to say something. And I said, "Are you sure you don't want to share anything with me?" She said, "No, I'm just a little shaken up. I'm okay. I'll be fine." But literally, we would go into schools, and as we would begin speaking, we could see the nonverbal communication in students. And some of them, they would put their head in their lap. Some of them, they would just turn red in the face. Mm-hmm. Some of the girls, they would either have their head laying on their friend, and their friend was, like, comforting them. And it was, you could tell that there was a bond that they shared, mm-hmm. and the friend was, like, the secret keeper. And so you could literally go into the schools, and by the end of the presentation, we would actually start, I wouldn't say it was, like, a competition, but it was kind of like Myra would say, those three on the front row, one of them are going to come forward. Wow. Someone else would say,
you could
those
see
five,
it.
You could see it in their faces.
Yeah, and they wanted it.
And they wanted it.
Yeah, they were waiting for it. They didn't know they were waiting for that, but they were waiting for that.
Yes.
So are you, now this No Seekers campaign, is it just strictly high schools, or are you attending middle schools as well?
No, we went to middle schools and elementary schools as well.
I'm surprised school officials allowed you guys in, to be honest. It's a very touchy topic, although it's
elementary.
Needed. What's that?
Especially
elementary. Yeah, right.
You would be surprised. We started with high school. We said, we just want to go in high school. It's going to be really hard for school officials to allow us into elementary. And the school officials were the ones that said, we're really dealing with a lot of these issues, especially the sexting, texting issue.
Yeah.
Can you please come in on the elementary level? So the school officials actually were
That's
the
very
ones.
Impressive on their part.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that in North Township only then, these schools so far?
Yes, so far only in North Township. But Frank has just a heart, you know, although he is the trustee of North Township. Mm-hmm. We've had other districts reach out to us. So we're hoping to get into Gary as well. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll be meeting with them this week. But literally, we've had faith-based schools contact and say, can you please come into our district? So Frank has realized that this is bigger than North Township,
that the
entire county needs this, because if we only went to three districts and 73 students came forward, once this bill is effective starting December 2018, can you imagine how many kids across the state will start coming forward?
They'll at least hear the message, at least that.
At least. And it didn't take much time. It took an hour. It was a one-hour presentation, and 73 kids came forward. So it was a blessing, and I really believe that those 73 kids, that they were just a small reflection of what really is happening once we start, you know, peeling the layer of this sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, were these kids all young girls?
No.
Really?
No, they were boys too.
Really?
And I, you know, as an African-American woman, you would think, right? Sometimes we think that relatability only happens in our community, right? That in order to speak to white adolescents, you have to be white or Latinos. No, they were black. They were white, they were Latino, they were rich, and they were poor, and the only thing they cared about on that day was becoming free. That's all
they cared about. You know, just because this is the first time I've met you, and you have a very welcoming, warm, positive presence. So I think that probably breaks down some of these walls that these kids have. You know, and you're young and you're so positive and you just bring that out to them. So I think it allowed them to, that they knew that they were going to be okay if they came to you. It's like, look, this woman I can trust. I can sense, I can trust her, I can come to her.
Maybe more so than like a middle-aged white guy like me, you
know?
Sure.
Who they hear about so often in their lives, you know? Oh, blah, 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 blah. Like Charlie Brown's teacher talking to them,
Well, there was one funny story, right? And that was kind of like, we tried to find, like, you know, the silver lining. Because it was heavy stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Shaking and hearing some of the stories. There was one little boy that went to the DCS work and was like, I have to share my secret. And the DCS worker was like, well, what's your secret? I don't want to tell you without getting the secret keeper here. I need Miss Alicia. He called me Miss Alicia. Oh. And so she was like, well, honey, I can't really, you know, tell Miss Alicia what we discussed in here. Well, are you keeping secrets from the secret keeper?
Oh, yeah, right.
You're going to break it down. That's a betrayal. Well, yeah.
Yeah, so I thank you, but I tell people all the time that, you know, this country, this nation, Lake County, Indiana, love transcends anything, mm-hmm. right? Love transcends religion. Love transcends race, mm-hmm. Culture, and I try to embody love.
Kids pick up on that, yeah. obviously.
They really do.
What's the future look like, Isha, for the campaign?
The future. So we just got Senate Bill 355 passed.
It's
so
great. It's a done deal.
It is a done deal. Okay. Thank you so much to all the representatives that championed this. Senator Mervan, Senator Mesmer, Representative Althoff, of course, our amazing trustee, Frank Mervan. We need to continue this campaign. So there's actually a lag. So the bill does not become effective until December 2018.
Yeah, that's a while away.
That's a while away, no doubt. Right?
And so that's a big lag.
It's a big lag. Yeah. So right now we're seeking funding so that we can continue for the 2017 school year and then train school districts to implement this on their own.
I see.
Once the bill is in effect.
And it would be similar to the model that you guys presented, that one-hour presentation
yes.
with a speaker that has a heartfelt honest message, whether it's you or somebody else, I'm guessing.
I'm hoping someone else.
I'll bet. So you're hoping it not only goes across Lake County, but also Northwest Indiana and possibly the state level if everything goes correctly, right?
Yes. Well, the bill will definitely go across the state.
Yeah.
And we're looking to hopefully have some other townships model what Frank has done. I always tell people that when I met Frank, it was kind of very serendipitous, but I saw him more than a politician, mm-hmm. right? I saw him as someone that really cared about people. And we met on a completely different project. I was opening up a school for adjudicated youth, and he took a liking to me. And when mm-hmm. I finished with that project, a small little voice said, go see that man Frank before you move back home.
Yeah.
And I never thought I would be in Indiana this long, but I feel like I found purpose here. Mm-hmm. And I always tell Frank, he was like, you're such a hero. I'm like, Frank, you have no idea. You know, for me, this would have been a secret. You know, I don't mind sharing when I'm talking to people, but actually, like, coming out publicly and sharing this testimony, this has not just been a consulting project for me. It also has been my own personal liberation.
Sure it
has.
And
to know that my pain now has a purpose that's much bigger than mine. Now I can look back and say, I understand why that happened mm-hmm. when I was 7. As you know, I was sexually abused by my aunt mm-hmm. and also my stepfather.
Right.
And so now looking back and knowing that I had to go through that and I had to get the strength because God knew that on this Good Friday, I would be on your radio show telling people that there's no need to be ashamed of secrets. We all have some.
We all do.
We do. Mm-hmm.
One last question before you leave, Isha, is this. How can our listeners, Lakeshore listeners and Casual Fridays listeners and fans, learn more information about No More Secrets or contact you if they need to or contact Frank's office?
Yeah, so you can contact the North Township's office. I'm sorry I don't have the actual email address, but you can email me. It's Isha, I-S-H-A-L, Haley, H-A-L-E-Y, @gmail.com. On May 4th, we're inviting the entire community to come out for National Day of Prayer. We have some amazing pastors and ministers who will be lifting up the 73 children. And, of course, you can always contact Jerry because we text each other very often.
Yeah, right. you can find my column that I wrote last week on my Facebook page and on my Chicago Tribune webpage. So it's very accessible. It's No More Secrets campaign. Every school should listen to this across not only Northwest
Absolutely.
Indiana but across the state. Isha Haley, thanks for sharing your story.
Thank you so very much.
Thanks for not having any more secrets in the studio with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, folks, listen to Casual Fridays. Tell you what, when we come back, we're going to talk about briefly my column today involving this scuffle between a couple of county cops and whether taxpayers should know about it or not. Plus, Easter's on the horizon. We'll talk about Easter also. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back.
Every day when the news breaks,
the president's been forced to fire his national security advisor.
More water is coming over the emergency spillway.
There's two loud groups that are here that have gathered outside.
And heard someone yell, get out of my country. Then there was gunfire.
Locally, there have been 60 to 70 unauthorized immigrants.
NPR News is there with context and clarity through the first 100 days of a new administration and beyond. Listen every day.
right here to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Did you know you can name Lakeshore Public Radio as a beneficiary in your insurance policy or IRA? You may receive additional financial benefits as well. For more information on creating this kind of legacy gift, talk with your financial advisor or call Wendy Burbridge at Lakeshore Public Radio, 219-756-5656. Thank you.
We all know traffic is hectic when you're trying to get to work.
Or when you're trying to get home.
Let us help you get to where you need to be, whether it's during your morning commute on Morning Edition with me, Sharon Jackson, from 6 to 9 a.m.
Or on All Things Considered with me, Dan Clark, from 4 to 7 p.m. We'll make sure you know what obstacles are in your way.
A traffic accident, construction.
A stoplight is out, or a big storm has brought traffic to a standstill. Local traffic and weather is heard every weekday here on Lakeshore Public Radio. 89.1 FM.
Hello, this is Valparaiso Mayor John Costas. You're listening to Casual Fridays with my very good friend Jerry, what's his last name again? Huh? Dovich? Dovich? What? Well, anyway, it's a great radio show, I'm told.
He's a polished guy, that John Costas, isn't he?
Tommy John. Welcome back to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. Our show on the Lakeshore is supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage where it matters most. And do we sound a little different today? It's because we have new covers on our microphones.
Yeah, I know. It's more professional.
Yeah. I know.
We could do like crank calls now.
Classy, no one will know it's us.
Do you have Sir Walter Raleigh in a can? That kind of stuff.
Is your refrigerator running?
Yeah, the old jokes, right? And if you missed any part of today's show, it's re-aired at 7 o'clock. If you missed any bit, any minute of our recent chat here with Isha Haley, I really strongly suggest you listen to the 7 o'clock version or find it online, posted lakeshorepublicradio.org. Yeah, she really is. You could tell why kids respond to her.
Yes.
You could tell in
a
heartbeat.
You can tell right away.
Yeah. So you could tune into that also soon. My column today touches on an issue that I wasn't sure if I should even mention or write about at all. I was told by a couple of anonymous sources and then a couple other sources that a couple of Lake County cops got into a serious fist fight at a cemetery in the middle of the night.
What? Why a cemetery?
Well, they wouldn't give me details. I mean, guessing because there's nobody there and it's the middle of the night and it's out of the way. Maybe it just happened.
They wanted to take it outside. So
I guess
right
so.
By the cemetery.
I'm not sure. So when I was told that, I thought it was a big joke. Yeah, whatever. And then I contacted the Lake County Sheriff's Department, the PIO, Public Information Officer. His name is Mark Back. Nice guy. And he confirmed it did indeed happen. It happened at March 6th at 2 o'clock in the morning. A couple of Lake County police officers who are in my column, if you want to read about it, you can, in the Post-Tribune or on my Facebook page. They got into a fight. The PIO says it was just an altercation between two officers, and the Sheriff's Department is investigating this matter. They investigated it, and then they appeared before Lake County Sheriff John Buncich, and details are sketchy, you know, according to my sources. But there was a fight, and Buncich found out about it, and it's a personnel matter. But he still, he suspended the officers for the maximum, which is 15 days without pay, I'm told. And then also he suspended two other officers because they had improper use of the police instant messaging software. I don't know. Were they texting back and forth to
taking pictures or something?
I don't know. Maybe.
Instant
messaging software.
So they got suspended also. And then the supervisor on duty also got either suspended, and he was disciplined by being transferred from his patrol to another point. So it was all these cops. It was all taking place middle of the night. And my question, I guess, is like, you know, cops will be cops, and you know, if they want to duke it, I don't care. I guess personally,
somebody innocent.
I guess you could say that. I mean, I don't care personally. I don't even live in Lake County. It doesn't matter. What I put in my column, if you're gonna take out something on each other and you have some kind of a beef with each other, 2 o'clock in the middle of the night on a cemetery, that's a pretty good time to do it. I'm thinking.
Yeah. I guess so.
You know, how'd they get caught? Who saw them?
Well, these sources, it gets around. You know, the word got around, so who knows? So my point was, I'll leave it up to Lake County taxpayers to decide if you care or not. You know, if you do, you can read about it, contact your local police station, whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if it was newsworthy or not, to be honest, but I just thought it was interesting, and I wondered if people cared. Because I don't care about too much in my life. But, you know, I mean, I generally I don't care. You know, most things.
You'll care for something like for a hot minute and then you're done.
Yeah. Right. So
people would care more if there was footage of it that you could put on social media.
Yeah.
That'd be national probably.
Yeah. Them like going out in their uniforms and stuff, you know.
That'd be great visual, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's today's column. I'll touch back on it later in the show, but let's change gears a little bit and talk about this interesting...
Oh, pardon the pun, change gears.
Did I say that? I didn't mean to. There's an interesting There's a celebration of National Robotics Week taking place again this weekend at the Museum of Science and Industry.
Which is the coolest place on Earth.
Yeah, Karen actually loves that place. We went to University of Chicago Hospital for Karen to get surgery like last month, and she wanted to pull in just the MSI. She was doped up. She had her hand in a cast or whatever, and, you know, and she still wanted to pop
in. Can we go see the fairy castle?
Because it's MSI. So they're having another celebration of National Robotics Week. We invited John Beckman, Director of Exhibit Design and Development at the MSI, to call in. He's doing it. So, John, welcome to Casual Fridays.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you being part of the show. And I believe you called into our show maybe last year or so. And we love your exhibits at MSI. We really do. And we think our listeners in Northwest Indiana doesn't get enough of it. And you're so close to us.
Really?
I mean, you're literally like 35-minute drive. And boom, we're in your campus already. So tell our listeners, if you would, John, more about this National Robotics Week taking place this weekend.
Sure. This is the seventh year we've done National Robotics Week, and it's one of the biggest celebrations of all the ones that are going on around the country. And so we've got a number of different student groups and professional organizations here demonstrating their robots. It's really a great chance to get up close and personal with the people that are actually making these things and learn how they do it, and hopefully reduce anybody's sort of fear of, I don't know, it's too complicated, I could never do it. Well, here's a bunch of kids, college students and professionals, people from every level that are doing it every day.
Well, you have that. I just read recently that I can't remember if it was Amazon or that they're trying these little prototypes, these tiny little robots that will deliver your package for you. Did you see that?
Drones. Drones.
I don't know if they're drones, but they look like itty bitty little smart cars.
Wow.
And they will go to your home, and you have to type in a code, and then it'll
drive
deliver your goods.
Wow.
Yeah. Is there something like something similar to that that people can see?
Not quite like that. There may be some drones that are being demonstrated down there and a lot of other kinds of robots, but a lot of the ones that we are showing don't necessarily have a purpose yet. They are being invented to see what is possible, and so I think your example is a really good one, where somebody's developing a robot that can, you know, fly and carry some sort of a package, or that can drive around autonomously and find your house.
Yeah.
You know, they may be working on that autonomy element right now. Someone like Amazon needs to come along and go, hey, you know what? I could deliver packages. And that's kind of the creativity we really like to show people is, you know, what do you think is possible based on this technology being created right now? You know, because the future's unlimited and it's yours to make.
John, I'm wondering if there is a fascination or more of an intimidation level when it comes to robots and Robotics Week and all these different machinery. Is it, and the people that attracts, is it mostly families and kids, or some older people want to get involved with this too, or are they kind of intimidated by it all?
It's a real mix, you know, in terms of what audience it finds it appealing. You know, we see certainly a lot of families with kids and people that are involved in some of the after school clubs and projects, so they want to come here to see more of it. But we see a lot of millennials, a lot of people in their 20s or 30s that are in the tech industry to some regard, but maybe haven't had the chance to get their hands on these things and really want to understand it more. And then, you know, some of the older generation, I think, are just fascinated with where the technology is going. Typically, we don't see a lot of apprehension about robots. It's mostly fascination, and I think it's also a real reality check when you see what they're actually capable of versus what we might fear they're capable of.
Yeah,
we're fascinated by that. It's like science versus science fiction. Science fiction kind of scares us a little bit and distorts the truth, but science it exhilarates us. We just can't believe what's taking place, and that's why when we go to MSI, we see these exhibits like, wow, that's really taking place in our world, and we just don't really realize that it is.
Right, and that's one of the big things about National Robotics Week, and we're bringing our touring robot exhibit back May 11th for the summer, I guess, for the rest of the year. And you know, these are all real technologies that are operational right now. You know, this is not speculative stuff. This is where we're at right now, but it gives you the place to dream about where is it going to go, because robotics, you know, is sort of at that place where computers were in like 1979 or 1980, you know, and think about what we've seen since then.
Yes.
All right.
So can you tell our listeners how they can tap into this? I believe the cost is the same that it is if you for museum entry, correct?
Yes, National Robotics Week, which wraps up today and today and tomorrow. That's all part of museum entry, so it's available to everybody who comes in and gets a normal museum entry ticket. And those robot things start pretty much when we open at 9:30, and they wrap up about mid-afternoon. but there's a lot going on.
Perfect. We hope our listeners take advantage of it. John, thanks so much for
yes,
being a part of Casual Fridays
much.
Again.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Sure.
All right.
Anytime.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
And if you want the website for that, for more information, it's msichicago.org, Dan.
Ah.
/RoboWeek. So there you go. If you're looking for something to do with the kids today or tomorrow, go to MSI, check out the RoboWeek. I bet kids would love that.
I don't mean to sound like Andy Rooney or like some grumpy
When I was a kid.
You know, it's like you get worried that these robots are going to take over the world and then, you know, you won't
They're already stealing our jobs.
You're going to steal our jobs, you know. We have a robot come in and clean your teeth.
That's
you
the
know?
Science fiction part, I'm guessing, that taps into us. Mm-hmm. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I don't know.
It kind
That's
of plays
just
a role
silly,
with us.
But you never know. It's like you said, like when computers came out in the late 70s, there was these big monstrosities that took up half a room, you know.
Right,
and
right.
Just
now
to say hello, you know, and now you've got one in your hand there, Jerry.
I know.
So.
I take my phone. My robot comes everywhere with me. It does.
I love my robot.
My smartphone, iPhone
I know,
7,
I love
goes
my robot
everywhere.
Too.
So that's how it goes. I listen to Casual Fridays, folks, on this beautiful Good Friday and a Casual Friday nonetheless. Tell you what, let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Barry Manilow once again a little bit. Baseball a little bit.
Okay.
Yes.
Chuck Berry a little bit.
Sure.
And the story of two 97-year-old twin sisters who died together.
Oh.
I'll tell you how. Stay tuned, folks.
Did you know you can name Lakeshore Public Radio as a beneficiary in your insurance policy or IRA? You may receive additional financial benefits as well. For more information on creating this kind of legacy gift, talk with your financial advisor or call Wendy Burbridge at Lakeshore Public Radio, 219-756-5656. Thank you.
Every day when the news breaks,
the president's been forced to fire his national security
no
advisor.
More water is coming over the emergency spillway.
There's two loud groups that are here that have gathered outside.
And heard someone yell, "Get out of my country." Then there was gunfire.
Locally, there have been 60 to 70 unauthorized immigrants.
NPR News is there with context and clarity through the first 100 days of a new administration and beyond. Listen every day.
Right here to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Hello, this is Porter County Sheriff Dave Lane. You're listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry Devich. And I don't know how he does it, but he always seems to bond out just in time to host his radio show every week.
Welcome back, sorry.
Welcome back to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. Our show on the Lakeshore is supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for what matters most.
Okay, can I talk now?
Yes, you can talk then.
And if you miss any part of today's show, it's re-air 7 o'clock tonight, and you can listen to it online, your convenience, 2 in the morning,
if
at a cemetery if you want.
Right.
Feel free. While watching fighting. A fight.
Yeah, at lakeshorepublicradio.org, and look for Casual Fridays. Well, all of our shows are there. Today's column, I also touched on, you know, when Barry Manilow, we talked about it last week, he came out and all that kind of stuff, and hey, he's gay, big surprise. but I heard from a couple of readers who were upset about it,
sure.
And I thought that's something I should write about.
Sure.
Not that
upset you know, about that he was gay, or
no, I'm sorry, I should clarify. Upset that he came out now at age 73 versus 33, 43, 53, whatever it be. And,
sure.
And I already got feedback on my column blurb, as I call it in today's column. People are upset with me writing about this because it's he didn't like the tone of my column, they said. Mm-hmm.
What, are
said.
They fanalos or something?
They're
is that
just
why they're
fans
so...
in general. They said that Barry should be allowed to come out whenever he darn well pleases. And I totally agree with that. You know, mm-hmm. It's his life, and I don't care at all. But if you're a young gay man being raised in our society and getting picked on and belittled and bullied, and you think that a pop icon like Barry Manilow, if he came out, he could help your cause a little bit, mm-hmm. then they're kind of mad.
Sure.
So a gentleman named Kenneth, who contacted me, he's a psychiatric nurse at St. Catherine Hospital in Chicago. He wasn't so thrilled when Barry Manilow announced last week that he's gay. Most of the world applauded it. Kenneth, not so much. So I wrote a couple comments in my column today. He said essentially, too little, too late. He waits until he's amassed a giant fortune to come out of the closet. It's like a nasty deathbed confessional. Mm. He said, I never had the luxury of coming out. I was labeled gay and queer by the time I was 5. I withdrew into a world of books and music. Things became progressively worse for me. I learned to hate myself, everything about myself. I was a public disgrace and disappointment. With few friends, I became a nurse at 20, and then it kind of saved me. So he thinks that Manilow, if he came out earlier, could have helped all the Kenneths of the world a little bit.
Yeah.
When did Elton John come out?
Oh, shoot.
Well, early-ish. Remember he said he was bi first. I think that's what I remember.
Yeah, because he got married to a woman back in the late 80s,
right.
mid-80s. But then I think they got divorced, and you're right, he was bi, but then he came out as a full gay man, I think, in the 90s.
Was it that late? I would have thought it was like in the 70s.
That's because a lot of us assumed it, just like we do with Barry. Right. We all kind of assumed it anyway.
Right.
I assumed, because, you know, I wasn't really alive in that time, but, yeah, I thought, I always, like, to me, he was always... You know,
very
gay.
Flamboyant.
Well, he was all your life. He was
right.
Yeah.
Well,
so
yeah,
to speak,
yeah,
all of your life.
Sure.
He was.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
back in the day when it could help your cause, and I get that. I mean, I'm straight. We're all straight in this room, so we don't understand Kenneth's viewpoint.
Right. Exactly.
Please, he could have helped me a little bit. He could have came out and helped my cause. So I get that. But I've heard only from readers today attacking this point of view because, well, I'm guessing they're not gay and they couldn't have helped their cause at all, so they don't have the same feelings of animosity.
Well, Kenneth took he took offense to the quote that Barry didn't want to disappoint his fans.
Yeah,
sure. I could see where Kenneth, you know, disappointed because you're gay, that's a disappointment. Mm-hmm. You should be proud of it.
Yeah,
he said, out and proud?
He said, what an ugly thing to say. It's ugly because of the underlying message that being gay is a disappointment
or
a letdown, something to despair or avoid.
Sure.
He says gay people already feel, most of them, many of them, profoundly inferior to say the least. So many of them contemplate suicide. So Barry coming out could have helped us, is all he said. So I wanted to write that, which I did because it's kind of a contrarian view.
Right.
Sure.
That's the whole idea behind
interesting.
This. So check out more information. It's in my column today on my Facebook page. Something else I tossed into this blurb column, as I call them, once every couple of weeks I do a blurb column. Several thoughts, I just throw them against the wall, and they don't fulfill the whole column space, so to speak, but four or five together kind of comprise one. It was on baseball, and, you know, I am a Cubs fan, and they won the series, and we all know that, and we
yada,
all that. Yeah, and I used to be a Cubs fan when I was a kid, and I've been a baseball fan since I was, a toddler probably, and I had all that kind of stuff. So I tried watching just a regular game, and it was the home opener for the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, Wrigley Field. Come on now.
I tried watching that, and it was just too slow for me, and I'm already catching hell for it in my column because people say, what, it's the national pastime and all that, but, you know, what I wrote is too simply and annoyingly played too slowly for my sporting taste. I mean, I used to enjoy or at least respect every kind of time-sucking nuance of the game. All the pitching changes or the managers walking to the mound to settle down a pitcher. Not to mention all the players. They're readjusting their batting gloves or digging into the batter's box again. They're going through their rituals and superstitions. And if
spitting.
You're not, they're spitting and everything's slow. And then you listen to the announcers painstakingly detail every spit and every every glove adjustment and every plan, every piece of strategy. So I kind of said, I just can't take it anymore. So I don't think I'm going to watch a baseball game the rest of the year until the playoffs start up again.
Yeah.
And I could watch maybe an inning or
two. It's a lot coming from you because I know you're a big fan.
I don't have 3 hours to invest, watching that. I just don't have that. So let me
paint a picture, though. What if you're like backyard and you're in the sun? Would you listen to it on the radio?
No, I like music too much.
Oh, okay.
I really do. So I don't think I'd do that. Unless it's an important, pivotal game. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be an important, pivotal game for maybe 100 more games or so.
I mean, the playoffs, it's more exciting because something's going to really happen, I guess.
Yeah.
So there's a point.
There's a consequence.
More
games there's an immediate consequence.
Right. You don't really get that with the long regular season.
I'll see you tomorrow. We're going to play again tomorrow.
Yeah. I like going to games. It's different if you're there and you can watch it. Live.
You get involved and you get the fan experience too.
Right. And the Cracker Jacks.
Right. And beer here. You know, I get that kind of stuff.
It reminds me, is anybody else watching that We the Fans on ESPN all about Section 250 of Soldier Field?
That's right. Karen and I watched that and we were wondering if anybody else is enjoying that or not. I know it's kind of off season, but it's still interesting
in
other ways because I'm a huge Bears fan.
We have Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations, on the line. Tom?
Oh, baseball purist also?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tom, you got a point on this?
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller, love the show,
the
program.
That's true.
Jerry, I think what you're suffering from now is a result of victory fatigue. You've now officially won the championship, and you begin to wonder for yourself as a fan, what can this team give me that I have not already gotten? I myself am actually a victory fatigue sufferer. The Blackhawks, lifelong fan.
Yeah.
They won a couple. I finally got to see the one against Tampa Bay at the United Center. And, at that point, I saw a Stanley Cup victory in person at home on home ice. What else do I need from
that
team?
That's true. At least until the next Stanley Cup playoffs, which is starting up now, and maybe, you know, when it gets deeper into the playoff, maybe you'll get re-inspired.
Playoff hockey is the funnest thing for me. Yeah. I love watching. Oh, yeah.
From a non-sports,
I will watch that and enjoy it.
I like that idea, though, Tom, about fatigue, and you're right about that. But now, for you at least, the Hawks are back in the playoffs. For me, the Cubs are just rolling. They're just getting started again. So I say, wake me up in 100 games and let me know how things are going. That's how I feel about
it. That's how I was, even at the end of last, I guess, the calendar year, when you go into December, January. At that point, you know, it's like, all right, when is April? When is April? Now that it's April, it's like, okay, let's get past the first round. Let's get past the second round. When's the Western Conference Finals? And now I want the Cup. Okay, now it's the Cup. Okay, now next year.
Exactly. And
at this point, I could fast forward through it like it's a video game simulation of a season, and just go ahead and hit the next button to move on and win my next championship.
And I'll bet a lot of fans feel the same way. So I know fans are kind of angry at me for saying it's just too slow, and it doesn't keep my attention like it used to, but that's just how I feel, and I like writing things that I think some people are feeling but don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
So we don't want to talk about
that. I can't admit victory fatigue to anybody. That's why I called into this show. I don't think anybody's listening right now.
Fair enough. Tom Maloney, thanks for calling in.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Yeah, that's true. People don't want to announce that kind of stuff. So I made a mention of it in my column. It's also on my Facebook page. You can check it out. If you disagree with me, let me know. I'll write a follow-up column. I certainly don't mind doing that. A couple things in the news that caught my attention that I just thought was, interesting. You know, we know that Chuck Berry died recently. We know he was the godfather, possibly, of rock and roll and all that. We know what an impact he had on Rolling Stones, Keith Richards and Mick Jagger. We knew that, too.
Yes.
But since his death, Richards came forward and actually explained how he kind of met Mick Jagger and got Rolling Stones going. Have you ever heard that story?
No.
I didn't either. That's why I cut it out. I want to mention it just briefly. Guitarist Keith Richards famously introduced himself to Mick Jagger when they were teenagers, and they randomly found themselves together on the same train in London. We happened to get into the same railway carriage together, and Mick was holding two Chess records. Keith Richards told the Times last week, that'd be the Los Angeles Times, taking time out from early spring vacation to the Caribbean cruise he was going to. One of those records in Jagger's possession was a Chuck Berry album. The other was from blues great Muddy Waters.
Oh, wow.
In those days in England, a carriage or a bus held about six people, and for some bizarre reason, I had this one to myself, all to myself. Suddenly, the door opens up, in pops Mick Jagger, and immediately I spied what he's got under his arm is those two albums. And ever since then, we couldn't stop talking or collaborating. So that's how random fate works. I thought that's very interesting.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. He just happened to walk in. He had those two albums. If he didn't have those two albums, they might have said hi to each other.
It wouldn't be the Rolling Stones.
And one was a Chuck Berry album. So he is the godfather in many more ways than we might think.
Right.
Because the Stones, of course, are rock and roll staple kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I want to make a mention, if you didn't know how they began, and I'm not a huge Stones fan, but I sure respect the heck out of them.
Yeah.
Sure. You know what I mean?
Any
I like
band
all
that can continue to play for that long and go on tour.
It's crazy.
And I think didn't they make or are making another album?
They're always making another, right?
they're always constantly on tour, for sure.
And it started way back then. So I wanted to make a mention of that we owe Chuck Berry maybe more than we even thought. Mm-hmm. Something else I read in the news is two 90-year-old twin sisters, they live in Barrington, Rhode Island, they died in freezing temperatures last month after one of them fell outside of their homes, and the other one went out to find her, and she also died right next to her. So it was like 11 degrees outside, and the family issued a statement the next day, and police actually found them. One fell in the driveway, and as the other one went to go for help, she fell also, and she died there. So they both died literally maybe in the same hour, possibly.
That's really sad, Jerry.
Yeah, but it's so poignant. I mean, they're twin sisters, born literally
How old were they again?
97 years old.
Born on the same day and died on the same day.
That is insane.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just want to make a mention. I like these little oddities. I think they're fascinating. I mean, of course, it's sad, but it's also kind of beautiful in a way. I mean, if it makes sense or not.
Mm-hmm.
So if they returned to one of their homes for dinner that night, and then one of the daughters left, and they went out, and that's how they found her the next day. So,
oh, my gosh.
So there you go. So I just thought it was a poignant little story. I listen to Casual Fridays. I could bring anybody down in just a heartbeat. Stay with us long enough, folks. With Karen Walker and Dan Clark.
Oh, my gosh, Jerry.
Now, on a more uplifting...
Ruined my day.
On a more uplifting note, I just finished writing a column that's going to run, actually, on Monday. It's about Clifton Boone. Remember Clifton Boone?
Oh, yeah.
He's the Gary man who spent 38 years at Indiana State Prison in Michigan City.
He's supposed to come visit us soon, I thought.
He's going to visit us. He will. Clifton was in prison for several more years, longer than he's supposed to, due to a legal loophole that kind of kept a technicality, kept him in there with laws. And he finally got released 2 years ago today.
Wow.
2 years ago today, he was released. I was out Indiana State Prison in Michigan City.
Oh, my gosh.
And he walked through the gates with his mom and his clothes, his new civilian clothes.
Yeah.
And he says goodbye to the guards. And they said, don't come back, Clifton. He goes, I'm not going to come back. And I got to follow him home, and I wrote about it. So I wrote another update column. It's been 2 years now, and he's been doing great.
Good.
He's still working at the, oddly enough, he's working at the Lake County Jail in the kitchen area. He's been working there for almost 2 years now. And he's doing a lawn care business that his dad started up like 40 years ago, and his dad has died,
wow.
So he's taken up that business.
Wow! Good
so he's living his life. He's living at home. He's doing everything that we're kind of doing, and he's really acclimated well to things. So I'm writing an update. You can read it in Monday's Post Tribune or on my Chicago Tribune webpage soon, and I will have him on our show also to see what is life like after 40 years of not being out and about.
Good for him. Kudos for the fact that he's able to acclimate so well. I would think that would be a pretty hard thing to do after being in jail for 40 years.
He credits to a support system because he said he was trained and conditioned to expect this, to expect computers. Here's how to type. Here's how to
go.
He had to register and vote.
Everything. Wow.
A huge block in his life. But he's doing really quite well. He's still low-keyed. He has like two friends in his life.
Sure.
He doesn't hang with a lot of people. He doesn't do any. And he's finally off probation. And the last question I asked him is, Clifton, are you planning on going back to prison to visit some of your old fellow inmates? Mm-hmm. And he says he will, but he hasn't done it yet. It's been 2 years. He still hasn't done it yet. I think that's pretty important.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he always uses the word out all the time, like out here. So for him, this is still out here. For us, it's here.
This is
our reality.
Life.
For him, it's out here. So he's still not really home in a way, if that makes sense. So I found it. There's some interesting nuances involving Clifton Boone's life I'm writing about. You can read it in Monday's Post Tribune. It's an update anyway of his life. And kudos to Clifton.
Absolutely.
I first met him 5 years ago. And back then, I mean, he had no hope of getting out. He just wanted to. And he had this case and he pled it to everybody, the superintendent of the prison and the warden and Lake County prosecutor and his own attorneys and the public. And I wrote about it a few times. They finally
got out.
And
didn't the judge read your column in court?
Yeah, scared the bejeebers out of me. Yeah, Salvador Vasquez.
Were you sitting in the court?
I was in court covering
that.
Yeah, cool. It was going through his last public hearing, his court hearing.
I see.
And the judge was going to actually give him freedom or not freedom. And he pulled up my column and opened it up and read it aloud about some of the details about his life.
And you didn't know that was going to happen?
No. I was going, God, what did I write?
Yeah.
You know? But it worked out well.
Good thing you didn't make fun of the judge.
Oh, my God,
yeah.
I would not do that to Sal, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So there's a positive story to end on a good Friday. You know what I mean?
Really good. Very nice.
There are some sad things going on, but that's a positive ending anyway.
That is a good thing.
I'm also writing a column on Easter for Easter this coming Sunday about a gentleman named Matt Brown who lives in Crown Point. And he was, for 4 or 5 years, he was popping pills, a secret double life he was living. And he got addicted to them because he had some emotional pain going on in his life, and he was popping these pills. Finally, he confessed to his wife he couldn't hold the secret anymore, and he told her about it. And he got into a rehab center. This is back in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And on Easter Sunday, 2015, he walked into Suncrest Christian Church in St. John. He didn't want to go. He's kind of dragged in by his wife.
You know?
She goes, you're going to church. He goes, whatever. And
was he religious before?
Not at all.
Wow.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
And something happened that day. It wasn't like an epiphany where he didn't find God. A beam of light didn't come down, but he felt something. He felt a presence. He felt something he needed.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard everything he needed to hear, and he got touched. And he hasn't missed a Sunday since going to that church, Suncrest Christian Church in St. John. He's been going every Sunday. And then last Easter, he finally told his story publicly to the fellow parishioners there. And he got on stage and shared his story of the pills and the addiction and all that and him coming clean and going in rehab and in front of everybody, in front of God. But he was too nervous to share the story with me for my column until this year. I met with him a couple of days ago. He shared the story with me, and I'm writing about it in my Easter Sunday column in the Post Tribune.
That's great.
So you could read his story, too.
That's very uplifting.
That really is. And how did he finally decide that he was ready to share his story?
He just thought God led him to that.
God led him to that?
And he thought it was time. He needs to share it. And now he wants to share it with other people and my readers and our listeners. We'll talk about it next week. We'll probably have him on our show.
Yeah,
and he wants
really
to reach other people who are in the depths of addiction to help them. Like, you can come forward.
Yeah.
Sure.
There's help. There's support. You don't have to be alone.
Yeah.
So
the first step is admitting it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the message he has for people. So you can read that in my Easter Sunday column. And kudos to Matthew Brown. We'll help to have him on our show next week also.
Definitely.
All right. Well, that's a good positive message for a Good Friday, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a resurrection of sorts.
Today's Absolutely. A great Friday.
It's a great Friday.
It's a good Friday. It's a great Friday.
And here, it's a casual Friday. So yeah. We appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate Isha Haley.
Thank you so much for coming
in. Sharing your story of No More Secrets. Have No More Secrets, folks. You can find out by looking online for more information.
Check out Robots at MSI.
Yep.
Say happy birthday to Sam Barloga if you see him today.
Happy birthday, Sam.
And other than that, have a wonderful weekend.
Have a happy Easter.
And
a casual Friday.
Casual Friday. Take care, folks.